It's very loud here, so pardon me if I have trouble communicating, but with the technicians back and forth, but I'm going to do the best I can by reporting on what's happening here. I'm Paul DiRienzo, and I'm at Columbia University at 116th Street, West 116th Street, Broadway, where several hundred students are and others and supporters are standing outside the gates, which have been locked, and only students are allowed in, but this group of students somehow is not allowed in. Inside the campus itself, in the lawn that's in the middle there, which I'm not able to access, or nobody else is without student identification is allowed to access, is a large green space, and on that space are tents, and it's a tent city, and folks are going to continue staying there as long as it takes to get a ceasefire in Gaza and freedom for Gaza, to free Gaza. That is their main, the main chant you hear here. It's a free Gaza, and over and over again, you hear that from folks. And inside are the tents. So the tents and the supporters outside have been separated. Now, large numbers, as I'm saying this, people are starting to march north along the sidewalk, Broadway, and they're being followed by numerous police officers in riot gear. I would say there's dozens, scores of police, the top brass are here. There's several buses that are sort of the buses they use to arrest people, so they're ready to arrest large numbers of people if necessary. And my understanding is that police went into the campus a few hours ago and had tried to evict the people in tents. They were unable to evict them and for some reason retreated back outside. Now it turns out they're not marching now. And so there's protesters all around me. People are hitting on drums and all these kind of things. And so there's many people of different political persuasions here for sure. And it's an interesting crowd of people who are absolutely committed to ceasefire in Gaza. Now, the cause of this, I mean, there's been protests here at Columbia for quite some time, but the cause of this, and I'm looking for someone to put on in a minute. It's hard because folks are moving around a lot, and it seems to be uncertainty of exactly where we're going to go and what we're going to do at this moment. So I'm going to try and get a speaker to come over here and talk about it in a minute. But in the meantime, I'll give you some of the background. What happened was that yesterday, for the second time, a committee of the House of Representatives, the House Education Committee, held hearings on anti-Semitism at Columbia University. You might remember last month, presidents of University of Pennsylvania and Harvard were forced to resign from their positions because they botched answers to questions from Elise Stefanik, who's a New York congressperson and a very strong right-winger and Trump supporter, who has then carried on the notoriety she gained by another set of hearings yesterday, in which the president, Manu Shafiq of Columbia, was cross-examined in a way that was if you are aware of the history, you might remember the Hollywood 10 and what happened at the House Un-American Activities Committee. It was an attempt to recreate that kind of atmosphere of fear and hate. And unfortunately, I think the officials from Columbia University collapsed under the pressure, and protesters were protesting outside the doors of the House, and they were where the committee was held. They weren't allowed in to sit. And then there were protests at the same time here in New York, and that became the sit-in. And the sit-in has been going on since yesterday afternoon, so about 24 hours. And the police came in, as I explained earlier, and they attempted to throw people out who have this tent city, and they were not able to do that. And outside on Broadway to 116th Street, you see the support group, about 100 people waving Palestinian flags with banners from all different kinds of political persuasions here united together. I just talked to a professor, CUNY, who was telling me about the pressure that educators are being put on throughout the entire educational system. Next month, for example, the chancellor of the New York City school system will be under the same type of pressure, where they're going to be criticizing the way these issues are taught in high schools and junior high and elementary schools, I imagine, in New York City. This anti-Semitism canard has been brought up when it's obvious that not only are there many Jewish people participating, but that anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism are never the same thing. They're totally at odds with each other, and the attempt to conflate the two is mostly a propaganda point. But that said, Let me see. Hey guys, I'm going to try and get somebody on. Hang on with me. Guys, I'm on live on the radio right now, WBAI radio here in New York City. Would someone like to tell me why you're here?
I'm not good at talking.
Oh, you know, I'll talk to you. I'll ask you questions, all right? Nobody.
If you listen to the chant, you'll understand.
You're saying, if I listen to the chant, I'll understand. People are a bit shy about talking at these events.
Right.
Part of it has been this atmosphere of revenge or potential bad thing that could happen to you if your name gets out or something like that. There is that fear, that feeling. People are covering their face with masks.
Right.
But no one's done. We've been doing this for 6 months. No one's done.
Yeah. So tell them. We don't got to educate you. You can, you know, come here and then listen. I'm a student somewhere. No, I'm not Palestinian, but I don't need to be Palestinian to show up for humanity.
Children are being killed. Do you have to be Palestinian to defend children being killed?
South Africa.
Well, was it just South Africans who were protesting? No, it was the whole world. Why is this different?
What do you think you could achieve here? What can you achieve?
We're here to help the students inside protesting. Stop the NYP from getting inside. Stop them from arresting them. We want them to keep raising their voices. We want to keep raising our voices. We want the suppression to end. This genocide to end. It's been way too long, and we're sick of this. We want unity, and we want power from it. And so that's what we're here for. That's what we're all collected outside.
And tuition. So the tuition money, we can also decide where it goes. We don't want it to be invested in all the stuff going on in Israel.
Yeah.
So I hope you got that.
We got that.
Let's see. I just want to double check with folks that you got that. So I'm going to be looking for more people to comment on what's been happening here, but you're getting some idea. Now, this, in many ways, is a protest not just about Gaza, but about the freedom of expression at a university campus. And it brings to mind, I was a little young, but I do remember watching on television in 1968 when the students here at Columbia University took over Hamilton Hall and took over the administration offices and protested the Vietnam War with the same kind of energy as you see here today talking about Gaza. So I see that parallel. And I've heard in the statements that some have made on the Internet in different places that they're aware that the university has traded on that history to say what a great place it is. We had this wonderful history of free speech. And that, in fact, that's just using, they feel that that's just using the history of Columbia in order to gloss over their support and refusal to divest, which is one of the big demands here, is for Columbia to divest from its holdings and stocks. It has many holdings, being a very large, rich university. It has holdings and stocks and bonds and other investments that may also benefit Israel, right, which is right now the subject of boycotts under the boycott investment movement. And so you have that kind of thing going on. It's a lot of people here have a long history already in the boycott divestment movement. And people see they're getting ready to march. They're pushing metal barricades back.
Where are they marching
getting
to?
Getting nervous and moving closer to the fence. Literally, I don't think it's an explosive situation per se, but the mayor of New York has been expressed himself as no big fan of these protests. He said there's been over 500 pro-Palestinian protests in New York City since October, and I think maybe as many as 300,000 people or more have participated in those rallies just in New York City alone. And I think that the city is sort of tired of it, and the police department is sort of tired of it. They sent their top people here. Commissioner Schell, I believe, he's one of the top commissioners, is here, and others. So they're taking, you know that the mayor is aware of this. You know that the Commissioner Caban is aware of this. And this is a high-profile protest, which makes you wonder what is the message that the university is sending to the students and to the community here when it's they're taking such a hard-line stand at a time when there's obviously so much attention on what's happening. So it makes you wonder if there's a message being sent. And so I'm going to find some other folks to talk here. As you can hear, the people chanting. It's loud. It's going to be hard to find somebody, but I'm going to do my best. Hang on.
And this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. You're listening to Paul DiRienzo, over at Columbia University at the protest that is happening right now, that has been happening for the past couple of days. I think it's been at least 72 hours since all things have brewed up again. And Paul is going to bring some people over to his area so that we can so they can talk, and so we have a better understanding of what's going on over at the campus. And Paul, if you can hear me, is there what is exactly closed? Because you said you're located over at 116th Street on Broadway. So is that closed?
We love WBAI.
I love you. That's
We're
what's
live
up.
On WBAI right now.
Free Palestine, WBAI. That's what's up. We out here for a free Palestine.
We're raising money right now. Tell people why they should donate to WBAI.
Donate to WBAI because that's some of the last media that's telling the truth in New York City. You know, I'm just a random person, but I get my truth from them. They got all the good stations. I know I heard Electric Intifada on there. I know I heard Democracy Now on there. They got all the people telling the truth. Yeah, I did. What's your show? I know. Yeah, I know exactly.
If you're a longtime WBAI listener, you know that it's always on, and you always got some good truth coming from WBAI. Support WBAI. I don't know. They need it. We as a city need it. Try to imagine New York without WBAI, and that's not a New York any of us want to see. We have to free Palestine because it's people there that are living in bondage. It's people there that are living in incarceration. They're living in apartheid conditions. They are living in Gaza in an open-air prison, and we need to support them. We got kids being bombed, and if the entire UN, despite America and Israel, is saying that there's a genocide and there's a problem, we need to listen, and we can't have a pariah state. The U.S. is now a pariah state, and this cannot continue.
Thank you very much, guys. God bless you.
God bless WBAI.
All right, good.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
All right, so there we have some big fans of WBAI. It's not hard to find big fans and listeners of WBAI here right now. Right, and I hope you got all of that. His stuff is precious. It's precious material about our city, New York. What a wonderful place it is to live and to know people and to work and do reporting. It's just an amazing place. Right now I'm behind these guys. They come every time. They're from a group called NKUSA, and what they are Orthodox Jewish guys who are absolutely in favor, opposed to Zionism and in favor of freedom for people from Gaza. And they're at every one of these rallies. Their chief rabbi is here, people with them, and it's always they're always at the front of every rally. I mean, standing at the front, and they're a wonderful group of guys. I don't know if we can get an interview with them. They're sort of shy when it comes to sticking a microphone in their faces, but they're always been very nice to me, and willing to talk. So maybe I can find somebody here who'll talk with us, Rabbi.
I'm Paul from WBAI. We're live on the radio.
Okay, he's going to get the rabbi right now. So while he's doing that, I'll just describe the situation. We are on Broadway and 116th Street, West 116th Street and Broadway, and there's a number of police lined up. Lots of them. There's vans and buses, really, waiting to take people away.
Rabbi, I'm from WBAI Radio. We're there right now. I was just wondering if you could describe for us why you're here. Why are Orthodox Jewish gentlemen here right now?
We're here to show everybody that Judaism and Zionism are not only not the same, they are the complete opposite. Judaism is a religion which is subservient to the Almighty. No politics, nothing else involved. Just subservient to the Almighty. On the other hand, which was came way before Zionism, thousands of years old. On the other hand, Zionism is a newly invented ideology, which is based on mainly on politics, if not only.
So, can I ask this question? Is
anti-Zionism the same as anti-Semitism?
No, not at all.
That's what people are trying to say. Rabbi, same thing. I ask it to you.
That's what they were saying in Congress yesterday. And what led to this protest in many ways today is what they were saying, what was happening, the witch hunts that was going on in Congress, where they're saying being anti-Zionist, being pro-peace for Gaza, pro-ceasefire is somehow anti-Semitic against the state of Israel.
Being anti-Zionist and condemning the crimes of Israel is in no way anti-Semitic, but it's not only that it's not anti-Semitic. On the contrary, when you conflate the two, when you conflate Judaism with Zionism, you make a statement that all Jews support Israel. You make a statement that all Jews are accountable to what Israel is doing. That is the great exacerbation of anti-Semitism. If we are concerned about anti-Semitism, we should disassociate Jews from Zionism and from the state of Israel. And when we are standing here in front of Columbia University, those students deserve their simple right of expressing their opinion and opposing crimes being committed to their own families, to their loved ones, or to humanity. We as Jewish people stand up and we say we are so embarrassed when all of this is being done supposedly in our name. All of this needs to stop. And why? This needs to stop because Palestine deserves freedom. This needs to stop because Jewish people are in danger as well. Why? Not because of Palestine. Jewish people are in danger because of the occupation of Palestine, because of these crimes taking place. Jews lived in Palestine before Zionism. We lived in peace. All what is the problem today is here is the occupation of Palestine that needs to stop in its entirety, not only a ceasefire, not only a two-state solution.
Very good. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. Gentlemen, thanks for coming out. Always great to see you all here. Very good. Thank you. And it's on WBAI. You go to WBAI archives and listen to it if you want, if you do that. All right, guys. That was the rabbis who come here from that group, NKUR. They're wonderful people, and they lead this rally. They lead these rallies. And as you can say, you know, you can't hear it from a higher authority. How much higher of authority can you go than the chief rabbi of an Orthodox group, of a Hadassic group? Here we are on, I'm trying to see how we're doing here for time, and great. So we got about 5 more minutes or so. So I want to, continue telling people about what's going on. So we are at, 116th Street and Broadway, West 116th Street and Broadway, the Broadway entrance to Columbia University, inside Columbia University. And you can just barely see it from here on the lawn in the middle. I believe the tents are still up. I don't know. There's people looking at it right now. Do you know the tents are still up? Are they still having the tents inside? Yeah, we're not sure. It's hard to see exactly, but the tents were in the middle in the grassy space. It's in the middle of the university, and they were set up last night and this morning. Police came in this early this afternoon and tried to remove the tents. There was vigorous protests, and the tents were not removed. As far as I know, they're still there, and people are still inside, but they've locked all the gates. Usually, you have to understand Columbia University, you can usually walk right in. You don't need to show ID. It's open to the public. You can use it as a cross street to get over to Amsterdam Avenue. People do it all the time, and you can even come sit, go to their student union and get a hamburger or whatever you want over there, or you can sit on the lawn. Even if you're not a student. So it's unusual at Columbia University to have all the gates around the whole university shut and that only people who show student ID are allowed in. So the protesters outside, as you can hear them in the background, Palestinian flags, hundreds of people, Palestinian flags flying, are in support of the folks who are inside the middle of the park, the campus right now, where they have their tents set up. And this is attempting to be a camp out for Palestine freedom. I remember, you know, the same thing happened in Thomas Square Park when the homeless people had their encampment. So it's like an encampment for Palestine, for a free Palestine. Sir, I'm on the phone right now with WBAI, and being a person who has an educational background from CUNY, I was wondering if you could tell people why you're here and what you think about what's going on here right now.
Let me see here.
That's it. I'm WBAI.
Got it.
They're on right now.
I see. Sure. Well, I teach at CUNY. I teach history, including U.S. history. I think that the McCarthyite repression and attempted intimidation here is reviving and bringing back the memories, the bitter memories of the history of how wars abroad, U.S. wars abroad, and this war against the people of Gaza is a U.S.-Israel war, are always accompanied by repression at home. They're accompanied by attempts to intimidate and silence people. I think that what Columbia University is doing is an outrage, and it's a danger to all of us who teach wherever, whether it be in universities or K-12. We know that they're coming for the K-12 teachers.
Who's going to be there next?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is extremely sinister, and it's extremely important to protest and oppose this attempted censorship and this repression, and to demand that these students who are doing the right thing by protesting against this U.S.-funded and U.S.-armed genocide, that they be freed immediately and all the charges be dropped against them, and that we express our solidarity with them.
Very good. Thank you very much, sir. And so, as you can say, yet another voice. And they're like apples from the tree, people who are ready to stand up and go live on the radio and express their support for these young people here today who are protesting for a ceasefire in Gaza. And as you heard, for beyond that, really to end a system of oppression, apartheid-type oppression that has gripped the Middle East for all too long. And that's the kind of message you hear over and over again. So, I can't hide my support for the Palestinian cause and take that from somebody who's traveled to Israel, to the West Bank, to Egypt, and all these locations. And from my bottom of my heart, there's no braver, more courageous people than the Palestinian people who've refused to bow down and to give up their land that they were driven off of in 1948. And you can have nothing but the deepest respect for that struggle. And you see a sample of that kind of struggle right here on Broadway in West 116th Street today. So again, I'm Paul DiRienzo. This is WBAI News. We're sitting at West 116th Street, Broadway, where hundreds and hundreds of people are protesting. Palestinian flags, large Palestinian flags are flying, signs being held, Free Palestine, Hands Off Rafah, Ceasefire Now. The state of Israel and its actions are not the solution, but the main cause for anti-Semitism. Authentic rabbis with a international no sign over a Star David flag. This is, I don't know what you could call any of that. I mean, it's too complicated to call it any one thing. There's a lot going on here. And anti-Israel is not anti-Semitism. It's another sign. Don't buy Zionist propaganda. That's yet another sign. I'm just going to be Free Palestine Now, red against green. And people who have come here and seem to be determined to stick it out and to support the folks inside and their encampment, their tent city inside of Columbia University at this moment. As I was saying earlier, some of you might be old enough to remember. Others might have read about it. If they don't teach it in history, I'm sure. Oh, there's a drone, by the way. But I look up and I see very large drones, two of them, one very large and one a little bit smaller. And they're above the protest, zooming in on us right now. I don't know if they're privately owned or used by the police. I know the NYPD has a large drone force, and they definitely do use their drones. So I would assume that's an NYPD drone because it's just hovering really right above us, and doesn't seem like anybody's telling anybody to stop doing it. And there's two of them, and they're hovering almost right above the protest, and they have very powerful cameras. So they're looking at us right now. They could be looking at me right now after hearing this broadcast live on WBAI. There it is. What an incredible thing to have, WBAI, right? Where else? No wonder the drones are coming after me because they heard us on 50,000 watts. I know the real, it goes all the way out. I mean, I've heard BAI out on the Delaware Water Gap. I've heard it down in Jersey Shore. I've heard it out on Long Island, out in Nassau County, and almost in Suffolk County, and out in Connecticut. You can hear it everywhere. So we are getting this message that you cannot, the Internet is a difficult place to navigate because it's privately owned, and it could be shut down. They can allow you on, but then use the algorithm to get you off and to make sure nobody sees you and hears you. With WBAI, we have all these watts of power, which allows us to throw this voice, my voice, and I feel honored and privileged to have my voice thrown for hundreds of square miles around, right? So people can hear what's going on at West 116th Street and Broadway and the Upper West Side of Manhattan, New York, right now at this moment. And it's also going over the Internet at WBAI.org. This is, I can't say it more clearly myself, this is a reason to dig deep and go beyond your best. It's not enough to do our best anymore. We have to do beyond our best because things are happening. And
that drone keeps getting, the more I talk and more I ask for money, the closer that drone gets to me. So I wonder if they're hooking me in directly with that and are watching me right now at this moment. So please support WBAI. Call the numbers that Reggie will pass on to you. Go to WBAI.org and listen to the chanting here in New York.
So, Paul, can you hear me? All right, well, I guess that is WBAI at its being WBAI, and you're just hearing coverage coming from Paul DiRienzo. He's over at the campus of Columbia University, giving a perspective out there. Apparently, there is a drone from the NYPD is looking at Paul DiRienzo. I was hoping that he would respond back to me, but I guess that he's preoccupied, and I could kind of get the whole sentiment about being in the middle of a frenzy that is happening over in, what is it, Morningside Heights. That's right, Morningside Heights, where Columbia University is located. It's actually is in the village of Harlem, and the neighborhood is Morningside Heights. But that's just me being a geek about that, being a total nerd about that. But anyway, if you support and if you appreciate our efforts of trying to give you a perspective that is definitely distinct and unique, please consider becoming a financial supporter to this radio station by calling 212-209-2950. And I think, are we hearing more from Paul right now? Okay.
Hi, Reggie. Can you still hear me?
I can still hear you, Paul.
Great. I just came out of there. I just wanted to give you a chance to hear some of the chanting.
Yes.
Still going on.
Yes.
I came over. I hope all that stuff came over. Some interesting interviews there.
A lot of it did come over. And I wanted to ask you that you was located over at Broadway and 116th Street, right? And that big gate where 116th Street is located, is that closed or is it accessible?
Yes. It's all closed. The main gate is closed.
Wow.
All the gates are closed. Now, they tell you to go. There's a sign saying entrance here that points north. I haven't gone that way yet, but it's highly secured, and you have to show your ID to get in. The other reporters said they can't get anybody in there either.
Wow. So they locked it down like that. And what about the other campus over in Bernard, over at Bernard College?
Across the street.
Barnard,
the
I think.
I don't see really any action there right now.
Okay.
At the moment.
Okay. So it's
because what's happening is that inside of Columbia, in the middle, the grassy area in the middle, there's a tent city that was set up that people are in support of right now.
So did the NYPD confiscated those tents and tossed them out?
We were trying to see. I don't know yet. Maybe if I check, there's been films put up on Twitter that you can probably see. The last view I got was about 2:30 this afternoon when the police were coming in and they were looking at, it looked like they were going to pull down the tents at that moment. That's when the video stopped. But from what I can understand now, the police retreated and the protesters are still there inside, but they just aren't letting anybody in. And the supporters are out here on the street in front of the main gate at 116th Street.
And I'm looking at right now on some social media platform I'm looking at right now that there are tents and all kind of encampment type of items that were put in a dumpster. It seemed like that was more than a couple of hours ago. It seemed like it was like maybe about 8 hours ago. I guess my other question for you, Paul, is that how many people were out there?
A couple of hundred, it looks like. I haven't counted everybody, but it was a pretty large crowd. I can do a quick count if you want. I would say about between 150 and 200.
And were there any opposition protests out there?
No opposition that I saw.
Wow, really?
None.
Wow, that is now, that is very interesting.
At some of the gates, I saw blue and white balloons tied to the gates on the side streets.
Of course,
I don't know if that was meant to mean anything or just happened to be there.
Of course,
and no actual like full throated protest of any sort. No,
I see
counter protest, nothing.
And you kind of mentioned about a drone. Was that drone coming from the NYPD?
I can't tell. All I know, I imagine it is only because. I don't think they'd let a private drone just fly over.
Of course.
To hover right. over a protest and a bunch of cops, and it looks big. Oh, here they come. So the police are now coming out around onto the sidewalk, heading towards the protests. They are moving up towards the protests right now. They have their helmets on.
Uh-huh.
They're like riot cops. They're being led by an officer. I'm following them right now as they move along. They're moving now through the crowd of protesters, and they seem to be... I'm not sure what they're doing. They seem to be setting up. They're going into an area where the media are doing stand-ups. Where they stand up for the news. We're not the only ones doing news right now. And the police are surrounding the area where reporters are doing stand-up. And they're giving them security. I don't know if there was any pressure on the news reporters doing their stand-ups. I don't think so. But they're standing and their body. They have their body cams on. And the body cams are, you see, at least one of them is flashing green, so I assume it's recording.
So is all the police?
They're surrounding the pen. They're trying to put people in pens.
Oh, really? They're trying to kettle them.
Yeah, kettling. Well, they're not kettling the demonstrators. They tried to put metal pens to put the protesters in.
Okay.
And, as a matter of fact, yesterday when I was listening to the president of Colombia, she offered that they were creating pens in order to put the demonstrators in places where they would not be seen, because that's what was upsetting people, people seeing the protest, seeing the Palestinian flags. So their strategy, she said yesterday, was to create pens and to segregate the students who were protesting away from the main body of students. You saw an attempt to do that, and instead people left the protest, left the pen, and they marched around the street and came around and just stood on the sidewalk in front of the main gate. And the pens are sort of sitting there unused. So there was one smaller media pen, press pen, they've always had those, where the TV crews were doing a stand-up for the news right now, similar to what we're doing, but for television. And protesters were sort of getting close into them. I didn't hear anything going on. They seem to be just doing their thing. But the police came and surrounded it to separate the protesters from the press area while they do their setup. So I think it's interesting. That seems to be the crux of the strategy on the NYPD side and on the federal government side and on the Columbia administration side of trying to have as few people as possible see these protests and know that they're happening. They keep them segregated and apart and away, which is, again, a reason why WBAI is so important.
So when you're talking about trying to get as less, the goal is to create less exposure for the protesters, do you mean that they're going to go further into the campus, or what do you mean by that?
I think it's getting smaller now. The protests are getting smaller. It's a little bit smaller than it was when I first came here, although it seems to be still pretty energetic.
I see.
And the police.
So they're dividing them up. They're splitting them up.
It could be that. I think what's happening is that as the protests, as it gets colder, the more, hardcore protester types. Are the ones left, and the police are the police start getting more brave and getting closer and closer to, like, just pushing us, getting into the fight that's been, brewing all day or something, in their minds. I don't know. I'm just assuming that but I have years of experience. And so at the very end of the protest, sometimes they move in, and that's how they sort of end it. Maybe they'll take a few arrests at the very end, or just this is a pretty smart group of protesters. They're seasoned protesters, so I think they know how to flex their muscle and still stay, without crossing that line of least a mass arrest. Although, just in case, let me tell you, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 white correction school buses. Those white buses you see, usually filled with sad people chained into their seats.
Mm-hmm.
They have 4 of them. 3 old school bus ones with the grates on the side of the windows, and then there's another bus, a fourth bus, that's really one of the buses they use to bring the cops in, and that's just a big, like, I guess that's what they're bringing their extra overtime guys in. And behind that is a smaller one of these buses, too. It looks like a mini command post or something that they use. So there's like five buses. Two of them are for bringing cops. They don't have chains on the windows, so I imagine they're bringing the police in. And then there's two or three others that look like the type, you know, correct. They say corrections on the side. So they take you right to the hooscow with those. And but they're not full of anybody. I heard there was arrest earlier today. But
okay.
During the time I've been here, there's been no arrests.
So, Paul, this has been going on for the past couple of days, right? I mean, this been happening since, like, the beginning of this week, correct?
Yes. Well, yesterday I listened and the news yesterday, I covered the hearings in Washington at the House Education Committee.
Yes.
Where
yes.
Stefanik and these other sort of crazy right wing religious fanatic types. I mean, one person was just like railing on about God will curse you for protesting against Israel and things like that. Really crazy stuff. And as that was happening, people were gathering in a counter protest to that in the grounds and were planning to begin their encampment.
I see.
From the post I saw.
And the encampment was a response to that.
I believe so, from the post I saw.
Okay. Is there?
They might have been planning it already, but you know that seems to be the proximate cause right now.
And the police that showed up to confront the protesters, were they all in riot gear?
Yes, pretty much.
Ah, I see.
And the top guy, Shell, was there. He's one of the top guys, the chief patrol, I think, or one of those top guys.
I see.
Top five people right next to. He was here, like, actually personally leading the whole thing.
It's interesting that you brought on that CUNY professor showing solidarity to the Columbia University students. Has there been any talk about City College catching some of this protest fever?
I don't know yet. But, you know, I remember when I was involved at the beginnings of the anti-apartheid movement when I was at the University of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a pretty advanced group at the University of Wisconsin, but when the message got to us in our student newspaper that Harvard students were making a move to protest, you know, in their campuses to protest apartheid, we were pretty quick to do it at our school.
Okay.
So these Ivy League schools, when they start doing stuff, people are watching. You know, the other schools, people in, you know, other colleges across the country and around the world are watching. And the possibility of sparking something is always pretty big.
Yeah, that's true, because City College is only 20 blocks away from Columbia University. So
it's a little different. I mean, that's where I got my master's degree in education.
Okay.
And so I know we're a working-class crowd. Often I came to do night classes with us working in the school during the day,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have time to go to protests or anything like that. So, you know, it's a working-class crowd. At a place like Columbia, going to protest should be part of your education because you're being educated to be leaders
yes.
at the highest level when you go
yes.
to college like this.
Yes.
So, you know, you would expect people to be on top of it first and then others to take the lead. And we hope, I guess they hope that will happen.
Okay. I guess. Any other new developments happening over your end, Paul?
Right here, I think it's sort of getting smaller. I think there's the hardcore organizer crowd is still, you know, very much with it. And, there's lots of police in riot helmets. I mean, they're more in riot helmets than they were 20 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago.
Mm.
And, they're lined up across a double row of metal fences. And, I'm not sure what will happen.
I see.
You know, it might be a wait. It might be nothing. It might be a confrontation. You would hope that it would,
right.
since things are getting smaller, rather than seeing that as an opportunity to attack, it would be seen as an opportunity to pull back and let people, you know, finish off their demonstration and their exercise their rights. I haven't seen anybody do anything here that even is faintly, remotely against the rules. They've been letting people use sidewalks. Everybody's been very cool about keeping a space down the middle for people to be able to walk up and down the street.
Right.
Unless you take offense to from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. The chants are fine. And and here we have our main spokesperson is a rabbi who's talking to a bunch of people wear yarmulkes, you know, right now as we speak. And he's explaining what we're doing to them, and they're listening in a crowd, and they seem a little bit shocked by the whole thing, too.
Wow.
I find that very interesting.
Interesting, and, indeed.
And so it's an interesting place, New York. You can't get enough of it. And the police, the riot cops, seem to have removed themselves. They're probably listening to my report right now and getting embarrassed. And they've removed themselves, and the crowd is thinned out a little bit, but it's still a crowd of maybe 50, 75 people in front of the gate at Dodge Hall. And the brass are walking by me, the police brass are just walking by me. They don't seem to pay too much mind. And fortunately this time. And so it's a protest for free speech. It's a protest for academic freedom. It's a protest that was sparked by Elise Stefanik and her friends pulling a stunt, as they do. They seem to spend the entire last 2 years session of Congress in one stunt after another, whether it's, impeaching people for having policy points that they don't like Mayorkas or defunding the government in the middle of a war playing one stunt after another, you know, playing into doing whatever Donald Trump wants them to do. I assume that that was what was behind this. Was she did so well the first time in getting two Harvard University of Pennsylvania presidents to have to resign. I don't see that that didn't happen today, because that didn't happen yesterday, because the president of Columbia was totally a wuss, totally collapsed. I mean, you would expect more courage from somebody in that kind of position. And it's sad in this country that the leader of the university doesn't have the courage to defend the rights of a professor, even if they don't agree with their actual language and what they say. Especially a tenure, she said over and over again she would try and get this guy fired for coming to a protest or participating in what I'm doing right now.
Right.
A professor here could get fired from his job as a professor at Harvard for doing what I'm doing right now, you know. And and another reason why BAI is so important, right?
That's absolutely.
You know, why people should support us, so that we can pay our people the salaries they need, even if it's a little bit, you know, to be able to not be under the tyranny of a boss somewhere who doesn't like what you're saying, you know, which is what happened at Columbia University, which we heard, you know, in that star chamber in Washington yesterday before the House Education Committee. And I think people should never be ashamed to protest in favor of these courageous people of Palestine. Chef Bourdain was funny. He said, courage is defined by Palestinians. They define what courage in this world today means. And they're trying to slander them and slander the people who support them, because they don't want that courage to spread, because courage spreads. It's the opposite of COVID. It's a good thing that spreads to everybody. Courage. And we should keep our courage, not be frightened by bureaucrats,
right,
who are trying to shut us down and silence us. Simple as that.
Simple as that, and it's the perfect way to segue out from you, Paul DiRienzo. We thank you for that report that you gave on what is happening over at Columbia University. Any last words?
Just that I'll be there. I'll be on the news again tomorrow at 5:55, and we're going to continue covering this. And as this protest movement, it doesn't look like it's going in the opposite direction. It's strengthening. It's growing larger.
Yeah.
And this protest is going to be the story of our generation right now.
I would agree with that, Paul. And thank you for that report, Paul. That was Paul DiRienzo covering what is happening over at Columbia University. And we do appreciate your efforts, Paul. He was out there and he was giving his assessment of what's going on, talking to a few protesters out there, talking to some educators out there, showing why it matters that they are out there and why WBAI matters, why you should support this radio station to give these kind of reports. So